I'm Lisa, compulsive overeater, and you guys probably know I'm a 100 pounder several times because I kept leaving the rooms and now I abstain from leaving. I wasn't planning on this, but I don't need to figure it out. I'm just going to share some stuff about sponsoring with you. I have some sponsees in this room. It would be much easier to turn it over to them and say, hey, how do I sponsor? But you know what? I'm going to just let you know some tricks that have helped me as a sponsee. And then have helped others that I'm intensively working with. There's a reason why we use the word sponsoring, but the truth is, there's so many sponsors right now. There's a glut on the market. You might not be able to find a sponsee, or your sponsees, like most, might, call you and never show up again. Or we all know those things, happen. We're not ready till we're ready, right? And so all it says is that we have to sacrificially and intensively work with others. And so that just sacrifices usually time, or sometimes talking to someone who's kind of difficult, like personality wise, or someone who doesn't seem ready, and you're just going to give them a little bit more time, So I'm going to kind of start from the vetting process, because what we found in Zoom is that a lot of people got recovered in Zoom. In fact, a ton of people, which is why we have so many sponsors available. And there's been not a lot of vetting. Sponsors and sponsees. So people are changing sponsors like left and right, and that's hard on the sponsor and hard on the sponsee. Or even worse, and I get a lot of these calls, people aren't happy or doing well in that dynamic, in that dyad, either side of the dyad, and they want to know what to do. Well, you know what? There's a guy that we listen to that says, if you have to ask the question, therein lies the answer. Okay. So really, a lot of the times we know what to do. Just like I knew not to eat like a crazy woman, but I couldn't get myself to do it. I needed God, myself, and my other human beings, which is you guys. And so that's why we make those calls. And so, I'm a people pleaser. I was a fat kid. Fat kids are people pleasers. And luckily that was taken from me in step seven, but I can still fall back into that. And what we find in OA is it's very difficult to terminate those relationships from both sides because of that history of people pleasing. And I stayed in a lot of things too long, relationships, jobs with a therapist, because that was my MO. And it's not anymore, because I understand the big book, page 96, tells me, you know what? If they're not ready, go on to someone else. Not just because I can go help someone else and I'm like, quote, wasting my time with them. I'm never wasting my time. I'm planting seeds. But because if they're not going to get it and I let them think that's recovery, I'm doing them a disservice. And they do need to hear a different voice. And what I noticed is you'll hear this in meetings, my sponsor let me go. And then, like, next week, they found the best sponsor in the world and they're recovered very quickly. It's kind of like relationships, oh my, or jobs. I hear this all the time, I lost my job. And then, like, the next job they get, it's amazing. It's closer to home, it's more money. God is good. God does like groovy things, but we don't always see it in real time, So one of the first things I encourage is vetting. And people will hear one person call, I mean, one person speak, like they'll hear me speak and then call me to sponsor them. No, I want them to go to the big meetings where they're going to hear lots of people. Because if they start with, excuse me, if they start with me, they're going to be like, oh man, I heard somebody better on it. I'm a better match with them. They're going to be happy that we didn't work together, So I encourage them to call recovered people. And the script is, can you give me an idea of some questions I should ask a potential sponsor? Because people don't know. I mean, like, how often do we talk? How long do we talk? Do you sponsor me after step 12? There's a whole faction in OA that lets you go at step 12 and says, go sponsor. We heard someone, a big speaker a couple weeks ago, say that. There's about 15 questions people have come back to me with that they're like, oh yeah, I should have asked these things, but I didn't know to ask them. And so vetting a sponsor is important. Vetting a sponsee is also important. I'm going to encourage people to, like, sponsors in this room to talk about that, how they vet their sponsees, because we're both checking out to see if this is a decent match. Now, there's somebody else we know that says, listen, if you're ready to recover, Mickey Mouse could sponsor you. But the truth is, I like to have a bit of a click with my person, and I think that works better. It doesn't mean, like, if I have kids, they have to have kids, or if they're a Christian, I have to be a Christian. Or if they're a nurse, I have to be a nurse. Or if they're married, it's not about that. It's mostly about, do we jive on recovery? Do they want what I have, and can I offer that to them? That's kind of how I look at it. So I'm going to give you a little bit of what I found is that there are some sponsors that don't deal with food. That's something to ask, you know. A lot of them will say go to a dietitian, nutritionist, and you know, whatever they say is what you do. And if it becomes a problem, then let me know. There are some people that will definitely do your food. My sponsors always did my food with me. I've only had four in my life. Because that's what we did in the rooms. We kept our folks for a long, long time, you know. I mean, that's just how it was. There weren't a lot, and we were working hard, you know. And so some people will work with you on your food, and I do. I needed someone to do all of it with me. And so step zero for the alcoholic is putting the booze down. Boom, it's down. Now they can start working. Step one, two, three. No, for us, we have to get honest and work with another to define our food plan and define our abstinence. And that ain't no easy thing. And we've got to do it with another person because our honesty is not so good. The big book's very clear that we're lousy inventory takers. And so that's a question to ask. Do you deal with my food? And what, how much are you? Do you just want me to call it into you, or are you going to help me find out what my alcoholic foods are? Help me, you know, do step zero. It's funny, on the doctor's opinion, I always ask people, hey, what step do you think that is? And some of them say like 1.0, and some of them say zero. It's really one. It's really one. We see Bill's powerlessness and unmanageability of his life. And so you really are doing step one when you're doing doctor's opinion, but it's a really great way to help people find the reality that they have to be entirely abstinence. The abstinent, the doctor's opinion talks about that. That means I can't just have cake on my birthday. The guy can't do coke on New Year's Eve, have a drink on his birthday. No, it's entirely abstinent. And I got why. I thought my crazy mind led me to the food. No, it's the other way around. When I take the bite, the crazy mind comes and says, eat more, eat more. I didn't really understand that for a long time. So I have to be free from my alcoholic foods. In fact, I work with a lot, most of the people I work with are returning members. Like they like to call themselves chronic relapsers sometimes. Kim D will tell you, no, it's just that you broke your diet. There was a big fort here earlier. Sorry about that. You know, if you have 5 days and you broke your abstinence, no, you can't. You broke your diet. It's a progressive disease. But if you've been happy, joyous, and free, and food neutral, and sponsoring, and then you picked up, that's a break in your, you know, that's really you relapsed. And so guess what? We're always here, right? And so I work with a lot of returning members. And and by the way, I give while I'm kind of waiting for the person to get abstinent, which is not very long, because remember, you have to be abstinent a couple of days. You can't be on heroin while you're working the steps. Okay, you just can't. Anyway, I have some really good recordings I share from people in our program that talk about step zero, talk about getting entirely abstinent. Can't remember where I was going. So step one, I have a trick on doing that. I'm not going to share that with you right now because almost everybody has a really easy way of doing step one with their sponsees. Step two, I had somebody call me today, which by the way, I've had four calls this week on questions about sponsoring. I'm like, come to this meeting. This is why we started it. You know, I'm so glad people are reaching out, but get more answers. You know, come more often and ask. You can ask the same question every week. You're going to get a million different answers. What is it? You ask three addicts their opinion, you'll get seven opinions. So anyway, I think that step two question today was, well, I don't have a higher power. Always get stuck on this. I can't go forward. The good news is you don't have to have a higher power. It just says came to believe. How do we come to believe? We see the miracles in our lives. We usually point it out to our sponsees even before. We see the miracles in our lives. We see the miracles in their lives. We point it out, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. So by 12, I will have a higher power of some kind, okay? But usually way before that. It just says I have to be willing to believe. It doesn't say I have to believe in anything, which is thank God, you know, because that's hard for a lot of people. Here's the trick on step three. I don't have my book here because I just thought I was going to be like co-hosted. So step three, turn my will and my life over to the care of God. First of all, turn, I don't know, those of you who can just turn their will over, I wish I was like you. All right. And I wish I worked with people. No, turn my will over, like get a spatula or a
That's
pancake
10
turner.
minutes, Lisa.
Oh, thanks. Get a spatula or a pancake turner and turn it over. Like, I don't know how to turn my will over. I used to joke like, What do I like throw my problems up to God, and the ones he's going to take care of, he keeps, and the other ones fall back down on me. I don't know how to do that. But if you look, this saved my butt, and this saves a lot of people's butt. Check this out. Step three says, just what do we mean by that? What the heck do they mean by that? Turn my will and my life over to God. Well, my will is my thoughts. And my life is my actions, my thoughts and actions. How do I turn, how am I a different person turning my thoughts and my actions over to another? Look at step 12. It's on the same page. And it says, having had a spiritual awakening. Well, I'm telling you, man, a spiritual awakening, my life and my will is in someone else's hands. Okay. So step three is a decision. I decided to. So one, two, and three are like thinky steps. There's no action. You know that. That joke, oh, there's three frogs on a log and one decided to jump off. How many are there? I always thought it was two. No, there's three because one just decided to jump off. He didn't jump off. And so the step three decision is what it's called. And the step three decision is I agree that I will live my life like this and I will do the steps. Because listen, back in the day, they wanted to make sure that people were really going to do this program. Otherwise, like people were going to come to AA and say, don't go there. It doesn't work. Don't go there. That's why they beg us to be thorough and fearless from the very beg. Wall Street white guys begging, right? It will work. You know how they say rarely have we seen a person. No, I've been here on and off since the 80s. Never have I seen a person fail who's thoroughly followed the path, you know? And so so step three, we have a guy who speaks and he says, you know, how do you know someone did a step three? They're walking around with their clipboard and a pen and they're doing step four. So just what do we mean by that? This is page 69. I no, 59, 60, whatever. Yeah, 58, 60. Just what do we mean by that and what do we do? Thank God there's an action verb there. And the answer to do is we just work the rest of the steps, which we never finish. It's a big old loop, okay? So step three, it's not this big old religious spiritual thing. It's just continue the steps because having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. So that helped me a lot with step three. That saved my tushy. Step four is easy peasy. I used to be afraid of step four. I did the one, two, three waltz. People from L, I'm from San Diego, but people from LA, I think, made that up where you just do steps one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. I was so afraid to do four because I'm telling you, long timers would scare the poop out of me and say, oh, just wait till you get to four. Just wait till you get to. I'm like, so I was like, no, uh-uh. Step four, basically, I have a sponsee in this room and she was stalling at step four. And I'm like, no. So I'm like, give me a list of people that you're pissed at. And she like, you know who you're mad at. You know who you don't want to see or you do want to see and you tell. That's column one. She gave me her column one. And then we did it. It was done. It was done. It was done. She like did her four or five at the same time because she was telling me her stuff. It was perfect. Now she gets to go to six and seven, which is really quick. So as far as being afraid of the four, a lot of people thought it was that you have to write your life story. No. It's a bunch of people that, oh, by the way, great recording, Joe and Charlie. They do the best on step four to make it really simple. And save my butt, saves people I work with. It's not hard. It's not even that scary, you know, bringing up the people that you're angry with. Nine, little different sometimes for people, but by the time you get to nine, you're not scared. Okay. That's why they're like numerical. You know how everyone wants to skip. Speaking of skipping, I would have probably skipped to how it works, chapter five in the big book, because I want to know, like, what's the recipe? What's the instructions? Okay, I get it. This guy drank. He ate like I did. He drank like that's identification. I need transformation, and that's what the recipe does. That's what page 58 does. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path, and then it gives you the path. Amen. So when I'm working with returning members, we look at line by line, we look at that, and they look up the definitions of some words. Like, I didn't know what cunning was. Cunning is like manipulative, and they'll do anything to get their means
5 minutes
met.
left, please.
Oh, thanks. Tricky, foxy, like slithery, snaky, dishonest. there's a lot of synonyms for cunning that I was like, yeah, this disease is cunning. It just like sneaks in, you know? And so we look up the words. I have them look them up first and look for some synonyms that will fit in, some juicy synonyms that will fit in how it works. And then we look at what part of the recipe they didn't do or that didn't work for them or that they're not willing to do. And so if the recipe calls for 8 eggs and you put in 11 or you put in two, you're not going to get the cake. And so what's great is when they're looking at that, hopefully they'll see, like, I've never had anyone like not realize what they didn't do, double negative there. They always realize, oh yeah, it was the water. I didn't put the right water. I didn't put the right eggs. They always see what their issue was. And so far, it's been the very first few lines. Self-honesty. They could not be honest with themselves. They could not be honest. You can't be honest with anyone else if you're lying yourself, because what comes out of the mouth is, you know, the joke, how do you know an addict is lying? Their lips are moving. We had to lie to hide the food, to hide the wrappers, to pretend we were going to the gas station, to, you know, call in sick because, oh, I have a food poisoning. No, I'm hungover, you know? So we had to lie. To be a good addict, you have to lie, but we also had to lie to ourselves the most. And so if you're working with someone and they're looking at 58, they're returning members, and they're like, oh, you know, I don't know what didn't work last time. That's a problem. Ding, ding, ding. Okay. So right now, I just got you to step four. There's a whole bunch of other groovy little tips, but that's the best thing I can say is try some vetting. And work with other sponsors and say, hey, what do you know, what do you do? What do you ask for? What do you, so my criteria, I don't give pre-work. There's another group in OA that gives pre-work. They send you an like an email for you to do some work before they take you on to see if you're serious. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that work, but I'm serious. So I work with a lot of people who understand that the big book says there's no writing. A lot of people like to do assignments. I'm not your sponsee. I'm not your sponsor if you're looking for that. The big book says we have to write in step four because we have to write our inventory. We have to write in step eight our list of people we have harmed. And sometimes step nine, like if someone's dead, you know, you might write a letter, or if someone's not safe to, you know, contact, you might write a, but there's no other writing. Like I hear people say, ah, I stopped doing step 10 because it takes
That's
too
2 minutes
long.
left, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. I mean, thanks, Danelle. I'm looking at Lisa, Lisa G. So yeah, they'll go, oh, it takes too long. I have to write too much. I'm like, there's no writing in step 10, maybe in the beginning so you can learn your format. But man, if I was a person who had to do assignments, I would not be here. I'm not that kind of person. But if somebody wants assignments, there's tons of them around, you know. And if you like to give assignments, then Matt, those are some vetting questions, you know. And so I think that that's the best thing that I can say is call each other and say, and let's put our numbers in the chat. What do you do to see if you think it might be a good match? Or what kind of questions do you ask? Both sponsee and sponsor, what do you ask? My criteria is HOW, how it works. HOW is honest, open-minded, and willing, right? HOW. So if you're honest, you're going to be honest with me. If you said you're going to show up at a place, you're going to show up. If you said you're going to honest, open-minded, if I ask you to do something, you'll probably be open-minded enough to do it, even if you don't understand why I'm asking you. And willing. You're willing to do what I asked you. You're willing to show up, right? Now, if you switch it around to WHO instead of HOW, if you switch it to WHO, there's your answer. Who? It's not me and it's not you. It's God. But it's God, myself, and other human beings. Because if it was just me and God, maybe I wouldn't be here. And if it was me and other human beings, like therapy and treatment and medication and a guru and exercise and, you know, if it was a human intervention that would have done this, I wouldn't be here. Thousands on therapy wouldn't be here. But God, myself, and other human beings through the program works. And that's why I'm with you guys tonight. So thanks for letting me pitch hit.